Looking to propel your commercial real estate project forward? At Associated Bank, we've got you. With long-term relationships, expertise in your market, and prompt callbacks on inquiries. Contact a relationship manager today at associatedbank.com/CRE. Member FDIC.
We're on with Dan Barron, Senior Vice President in the Commercial Real Estate Group at Associated Bank. Dan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Steve. Good to see you.
Got a lot of things to talk about today. Zoning, developments, lots of office developments, major developments this morning. I want to start with the zoning situation because there had been a stalemate in the Chicago City Council on who was going to be the head of the zoning committee there, and it's sort of put a backlog on some projects and things. What's happening in Chicago that might now break that logjam?
Well, so the city council was waiting to formally elect the zoning commissioner. So the head of the zoning is a very, very powerful position in Chicago. They're kind of the last line of approvals for before a development can kind of get off the ground. So it's a very important role for developers outside, and you know, powerful role within the city council. So it's able to clear kind of a release the logjam of developments waiting for approval that can now go vertical that were just sitting on the sidelines.
Without getting into a lot of detail, you know, any of these projects, like what are there, big projects or are there
It's a mix. I mean, there's hundreds of different projects that are trying to get off the ground at any one time. So most of my projects personally, no, I haven't been affected with developments. I mean, we usually try to have our clients line up developments, permits, and zoning approvals in advance of our closing on them. So I'm sure there are deals that I will see coming up in the next couple of weeks that have finally received zoning approval and can progress.
It's a rough process getting through the city zoning rules, isn't it?
Zoning isn't the only rough process. I mean, permitting everything. It really is a long-term process. I mean, if an apartment development, for instance, if someone wants to build an apartment in the Fulton market, they need to get the neighborhood groups on board, and then as soon as they need to get the local alderman first, and in order to get the alderman in your court, you also need to have the neighborhood groups. They need to have calls, meetings, and everyone needs to voice their opinions, and the alderman then gathers all that information and decides if a project's going to move forward. Then if it moves forward, it goes to a zoning board review, and there's plan commission and all these different areas within the city that need to sign off before development can go vertical. So a lot of times, by the time a potential development hits my desk, it's been in the works for a year or two. And a lot of that front end money is spent on the developer, really on a speculative basis, to say this is a good development, we're going to chase it, we're going to fund these costs up front in hopes that we can get the development off the ground.
How often does that not happen, though? And it's just money spent after nothing.
It happens occasionally. I'm sure more than I'm aware of. So that's kind of the unfortunate nature of the beast. Yeah. But I think the vast majority of the time, it's either just a long, drawn-out process. It comes with a yes, but I'm sure there are lots of instances where a no is the ultimate answer.
I want to switch to the suburbs. There's a report that the suburban office market, which has sort of been in sluggish times, might be in for a little bit of a rebirth here, or at least a little bit of a better market situation coming. Talk to us about the suburban office market.
So there's been a leasing pickup around the suburban office market. I mean, it's still not the most ideal asset class to own right now. There are still some headwinds, but I think people are excited about the momentum that's happening in the suburban office market. I've been reading that there's a lot more showings, a lot more tenants in the market looking for additional office space. So, I mean, you have two different really forces pushing on suburban office vacancy, pushing it down, right? You have some hopefully potential leasing prospects coming over the next 12 months, plus you have redevelopments. I think municipalities are starting to understand that these old office buildings that are either now completely vacant or mostly vacant will probably never be office again, especially if they're in a Class B, Class C kind of category. It would take far more money to reinvest to bring those up to a leasable standard than it would be to just tear them down. So a lot of the redevelopment happening now, industrial, multifamily, single family, they're taking away that old vacant, obsolete office stock. So that'll help push the suburban office vacancy down too, because municipalities are starting to realize that office space isn't going to ever be office space again. Mm-hmm.
The report I'm reading here says that the suburban office vacancy rate, Chicago suburban office vacancy rate, was at 26.8% at the end of the first quarter. Talk to us a little bit about why that is. Or is the suburbs just not a place that people want to be these days? Or is it just area-wide that more people are working from home and we just don't need these offices?
It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, in my opinion, the suburban office market's a little fractured, right? If you're driving through Buffalo Grove, and you'll be going down, you know, Lake Hick Road or wherever you're going to be driving, there will be an office building that pops up. And it's like there's not a centralized office market for the suburban office market, which is obviously a very large area. So you don't have a cohesive kind of centralized office market that attracts people and attracts other uses like retail, office, or restaurants. Amenities around office that people are drawn to that office building for. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the city, you have the downtown, the bulk of our office is in the Loop, and you have the other drivers that incentivize people to come into the office. And I think there was too much suburban office around the Chicago area. So I think now with the rise of remote work, you have less people really interested in or required to be in an office. So some of that attrition happens, and there just isn't enough new businesses or new employers saying, let's go to a suburban office and like let's plant our flag at this location. It's just not happening right now.
Talk to us a little bit about the suburban communities. So you mentioned that some of these buildings are probably going to be knocked down because they're just never going to be filled again. I'm guessing there are people now trying to reimagine what might go in those spots, right?
Right.
Because the community doesn't want that to sit empty.
No, I mean, there's a lot of community input on what's going to happen, right? Industrial, for some reason, has been a black sheep as it relates to repurposing an office building. A lot of people aren't overly happy about, you know, if you're going to build an industrial building, you're going to have truck traffic, you're going to have noise. But really, that isn't overly egregious versus the former car traffic that used to come in and out of these office buildings. And you're not going to have, like, you know, a beautiful, you're going to have a big brick wall running along an expressway. It's not visually appealing. And a lot of, you know, municipalities have to realize that they can't overhouse these particular areas, because if you remove, you know, if you have a 20-acre parcel that used to be an office building that gets knocked down, you can repurpose that with homes, but now you're starting to add to the stress on a local community, a school district, with, you know, a couple hundred new families moving into the district. So there's a lot of that has to be weighed by these municipalities about how they're going to repurpose these old office properties.
I'm going to switch gears back to the city. There's a couple of reports about new developments that are happening. One of them is in Fulton Market, where maybe an apartment tower is going to be going in. This is, I believe, at 166 North Aberdeen.
So the building's built now, but from what I've heard, they're looking to offload and sell the assets.
Okay.
So
yeah.
This is a... it's kind of emblematic of what is going on in popular areas of the city right now in terms of multifamily, if apartment living. If you can get a development out of the ground, especially in called Fulton Market, like this instance, you're going to lease up. You're going to lease up quickly. You're going to lease up at high, high rents. And when that developer elects to sell, they're looking at selling for a very, very big number. So with the lack of development over the last 24 months, there's been very few new projects that are coming online. So there's a very small amount of available stock left for tenants to come in and rent. So occupancies are, you know, 90 plus, 95 plus. So that allows landlords to start pushing rents because there's not much competition left. Simple supply and demand. So now, if the rents are increasing almost at double-digit pace annually, you know, a landlord or a developer can sell these buildings for a very, very high number. And it just shows how little stock is coming online. Like, I'm working on a development in Edgewater, obviously a different neighborhood than this. But when I did some market research, I saw there's 68 apartment units coming online in all of, you know, basically from Evanston to, call it Ravenswood, mm-hmm. and Kedzie to the lake. I mean, that's a huge swath of the city with only 68 units coming online in like the next 4 to 8 quarters.
Wow.
So, I mean, if you're developing now, if you can pencil a deal, if you can get it out of the ground, it's going to lease and rents are going to, you know, be substantially higher than even what some underwriting assumptions are.
Yeah. This building might go for $100 to $110 million, according to this report.
There's some big numbers coming because the rents can justify.
Let's switch to River North. There's an area there. I want to say it's a 200 West Ontario, maybe 219 West Ontario. This is like a vacant building that looks like it's going to become some sort of a high-rise development.
Right. So this is one of the more difficult tasks for a developer, someone who's looking to build buildings in an area as dense as River North is what's called a land assemblage. Basically putting together different parcels under one ownership, being able to get multiple people to sell, you know, for one, a price that's attractive, and two, in an area that is developable. So this is a pretty impressive feat by this group to come in and they own a parcel and they're buying a next door parcel. So being able to assemble a developable land parcel is a huge accomplishment and something that's, you know, at times decades in the making.
Yeah. And then in River North, I think there's another office plan that's going in there, a big office building. Talk to us about 300 North LaSalle.
So 300 North LaSalle is pretty interesting. It's a Class A building. It's a great building. They lost a couple of big tenants, but they've signed some new leases recently. There's a new West Coast technology company that bought a suburban Chicago
Ripple
business here, Ripple. And they're moving into a large chunk of space that's still available. And there's, for Class A, it's odd the way the office markets works, particularly in the city. Class B and C buildings have a pretty high vacancy rate. Class A buildings are doing really well now. Because if you're going to attract your employees back down into the city or into the city, into the area that you're going to be, you want to have an amenity-rich building, and that's exactly what 300 North LaSalle is. So you're going to be able to attract larger tenants. And frankly, for a big lease to sign like this, there's not much big block spaces available left in Class A buildings. So this may be the last building that has big, large blocks of vacancy that can accommodate a large tenant like this.
And this is a company from San Francisco, so they're taking a bet on Chicago, wanting to come here. Are you saying that other companies that might be looking here are going to have a hard time finding space?
No, I mean, it's just, there's plenty of space available. It's just in the larger blocks. I mean, you're going to have, it's not going to be an easy task if you're going to fill 50 to 100,000 square feet. The availability is out there. You'll just have to do a little more looking, a little more digging if you want to be in any particular building. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, say the Sears Tower, for instance. I'm not sure if there is a 100,000 square foot space left or maybe 150. So if you are a big tenant looking for space, you'll just have to do a little more homework.
So how's the year shaping up? And we talked about all these projects. It seems like there's activity. Is it looking good for this year so far?
I think it's looking great. I mean, I've had some conversations with, you know, some of the brokers that I work with or some of the developers I work with. I've been having, you know, an extremely busy year. I mean, the deal flow that comes across my desk has been higher than it has been in the last probably 24 months. So I'm extremely encouraged by what's happening. I think a lot of land sellers are starting to understand, all right, we need to, you know, unload some of this land. May not have been what it was worth a couple of years ago, but we're still getting a nice price. And developers are able to, you know, make some of these deals work out with capital sources being available. I mean, right now, the hardest part is finding equity that's, you know, willing and ready to jump in. But I think with a little more stability with the Chicago political scene, I think investments coming back and developments are coming back, and they're going to stay that way for hopefully the foreseeable future.
I wish I had a couple $100 million. I'd go and invest in some apartments on the north side of Chicago.
I would do that too.
Yeah. Dan, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. Thanks, Steve. They can call me 312-544-4657 is my office, or my email is daniel.barons@associatedbank.com.
All right, Dan, we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Steve.